All right, time for a Miami Sports Pod. Will Manto, Clay Ferrero, Dookie Lang. Clay so disturbed by the weekend in the Hurricanes that I'm not sure if he even wants to talk about what happened, but Clay will be here in a second.
Or maybe he's overjoyed.
Yeah, it's true. He's a Virginia Tech alum. Maybe he's getting out of this conversation because we told Clay we're starting right at this time, and Clay's like, I don't know if I want to get into this conversation. We're going to talk quickly about Manny Diaz and the Hurricanes. We're also going to do a little heat as they had their annual charity scrimmage. And I think we have to start, though, with Manny and the Hurricanes. And honestly, Dookie, the frustration that there is in town right now with this team. Look, the journalist, the person who does this podcast is being paid to be a professional, and me is being like, hey, relax. It's year one of Manny. It's a new system. There are a lot of things in play here. This is, to me, a rebuild, not in the sense of a Dolphins where you're tanking and going from scratch, but in the sense of a new culture, a new system. Manny's really trying to implement a style. But, throw that all away. It sucks. I mean, the Hurricanes are a proud program that needs to be better than a middle to lower of the pack ACC team, which is what they are right now. Clay finally said, you know what, I'll get into this conversation. I told him he didn't want to talk about
it. He was trying to take the fifth.
I'm frustrated. I'm going to play the part of the fan now because I am a fan. I'm an alum. I'm proud of the university. I'm never going to say anything otherwise than I'm proud of being in orange and green and what that school did for me. But part of the appeal of that school and the passion of that school is the football program. And right now, this football program is not where it needs to be. And I'm sorry, I know it's year one, but I expect better.
Yeah, 2-3 isn't exactly setting my toes on fire. You know, it's kind of interesting because I had a feeling something like this may happen. And I kind of talked about it on the pod before where I told you guys, you know, leading up to the Gators game, that Manny was winning the offseason, that he was winning the enthusiasm, he was winning social media, he was mm-hmm. winning the transfer portal.
Hey, he won the offseason.
He was winning all of the enthusiasm. He brought back the old Canes. Everything was trending in the right direction. But August 24th was the first game, and I said if August 25th they lose, that's all people are going to care about. And here we are. Mm-hmm. We're in October, and he's 2-3. And, you know,
This week was frustrating, though, because it was off a bye against a bad team.
It's
sorry,
just,
Clay. But that that was embarrassing.
It's the same song, different verse. This is the same stuff, but with a stronger word, that has been going on for the Canes for the last 15 years, mm-hmm. which is, and I will never forget when the University of Miami first came into the ACC, where the thought was, man, Miami and Florida State are going to win the ACC every year. It's just they're going to alternate because those two powerhouses, you know, Miami coming from the Big East, that those two teams are just going to dominate. And Miami still never won the ACC.
Yeah. And Clay, I'll let you. You've been trying to refrain. You were walking around pacing as we started because you didn't even want to get into all this conversation. I know you're happy as a VTech fan to see them actually win a game like this. But from a Miami perspective, I mean, you expected, not because you were trying to do like a reverse curse here. You expected Miami to just steamroll Virginia Tech.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's a bad football team, and you mentioned that, and we're not sugarcoating it, and I'm talking about Virginia Tech, not Miami. I think, it's really simple, five turnovers. Mm-hmm. Five turnovers to zero. And I actually, Dookie and I were talking about this a little while ago.
How does that happen?
Well, and I would have been curious, and I don't know if somebody did this research just in case. Has there ever been a team that lost the turnover battle 5-0 and still ended up winning the game? I mean, that may have been a first in history if it had happened.
Very rare, I would say that. Probably not many times if it had a few.
So I'll say this. And I'm not trying to sit here and like make you guys feel better and Hurricanes fans feel better, whatever. Virginia Tech is bad. Virginia Tech also played a quarterback that had played hardly at all, was very explosive, and I guarantee you the Hurricanes had pretty much no film on him and had no idea what was coming when they saw that Hendon Hooker was coming into the game. Now, with that said, I think my concern as a Canes fan would be, why did it take an entire half to figure that out? Now, part of that is because they were in bad field position because of the turnovers, and
why
I get all that.
Why did they try to run the ball? Clay, you know this is better, much better than I do. Virginia Tech hasn't stopped anyone. Duke ran for over 200 yards, yet Miami, I think, through the third quarter had like 6 or 8 yards rushing. They didn't try to establish the run. They came. They threw four times from basically the goal line in one possession. Why, with a week, an extra week to prepare, is that your game plan?
That's the one question I have no answer to. And Virginia Tech's defensive line is bad. And the team is not good. The defensive line may be the worst part of the entire team. And so the fact that that is how you elected to, quote-unquote, attack a defense with a defensive line that bad. And now, the only thing I would say is that maybe they felt like this was a chance for Jaren Williams to find a rhythm because this offensive line would be able to protect him against a defensive line this bad. That's the only thing that I could come up with.
What does it say about Miami's offensive line, then, that their offensive line didn't protect Jaren or Nicosi or yeah. over the poles? I mean, DJ Dallas, the one huge run, was mostly on his own.
Yep.
I mean, they just – how can the O-line be this bad? How can it be this bad? You mentioned the front. You know better than anyone how bad that front is. It's hard for me to put the blame on the quarterbacks. Look, let's go to the quarterbacks. Who should be the starter on this team?
I would go with Jaren Williams.
I agree.
I mean, here's my whole thing on this. Jaren Williams did not have an interception problem coming into the Virginia Tech game. Quite the opposite. Jaren Williams had not thrown an interception as a redshirt freshman. That was what he did well. In that particular ballgame, he threw three picks early. Manny pulled him. Okay. But you got to get him back. Because this is the guy who looks like the guy. Mm-hmm. He had a bad game. There's no mistaking it. Nicosi Perry had last season, all offseason, to beat out Jaren Williams. Couldn't do it. He did, I guess, an admirable job. I mean, you consider the one touchdown was a Hail Mary before the half. The other one, like you said, was DJ Dallas. So it wasn't like Nicosi came in on fire. Mm-hmm. He basically helped water rise to its level with a bad Virginia Tech defense. But I would start Jaren Williams and not look back.
Yeah, I agree. Clay, I'm just going to keep it at that. I don't think Jaren – look, Jaren had a bad game, as did everyone. They started off slowly on offense. I thought Manny did the right thing by putting Nicosi in. I thought it was – that's what a backup's for, right, for a spark. I don't think a backup, though, is for you put him in and then that's it. He's your quarterback. I don't think when you go to the backup, that means that the starter's done. To me, Jaren should be the starter.
Well, it was odd because it felt like in the postgame news conference that the injury, the shoulder, was not an issue for Jaren
now,
Williams.
If that's an issue, that's a whole other
but
issue.
But then
no, fine.
I may be wrong, but I thought somebody tweeted that he said something a little bit differently on 560. So I don't know, and that may have played into it or it may not have. But yeah, I mean, Jaren Williams needs to be the quarterback of this football team because if for no other reason, you've already pretty much said you don't think Nicosi Perry is the answer. So at the very least, you need to figure out if Jaren Williams is for the rest of this year.
Yeah, and you have to. You can't set a standard where you have to be perfect. I mean,
right.
You hand the kid the job and you say he earned it all offseason, all camp. Strong start to the season, as Dookie mentioned, hasn't been a turnover machine. Has he been spectacular? No, but I think he's been solid. You can't then say, well, kid, you screwed up. That's it. You're done. I mean, that's just not the way you treat a quarterback.
And I'm sorry, but it's a rare freshman that can stay, even a red shirt that can step in there and just be dynamite early on. And yeah, I get it. There are guys that do, but they are rare. And it's not like it's a couple a year. And you can't just expect to go and find one. You got to make sure that you develop the guy properly.
You know where you can go and find one, and that's a car. A sponsor today, Vera Motors. When you spend your money on your hard-earned money on a car, go to a place with a reputation. I promise you there's no business in the state of Florida with a better reputation than Vera Motors. Vera Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Pembroke Pines. The Vera family has been serving South Florida for 60 years. For the best deal in South Florida, the best service, Vera Cadillac, Buick, GMC. Vera Cadillac, Buick, GMC, 300 South University Drive, 3 miles north of the stadium, Pembroke Pines. All right, speaking of the stadium, the man who's in that stadium, Manny Diaz, who calls the shots, he's got the job, gets it right off the bat. You know, Blake James turns right to him right away when Mark Richt leaves. I think Hurricane Nation rejoices. Dookie mentioned the transfer portal winning the offseason. 5 games in, do you think he's over his head?
No, I wouldn't say over his head. I think we knew that this offensive line was going to be bad. Do you blame him completely for the 5 turnovers? Now, I will say this. It feels like every loss there has been like I've sat here and given it an excuse as to why they lost the game. The Florida game, obviously, Florida's a better team. And so that wasn't bad, and maybe you were encouraged, blah, blah, blah. The UNC game, well, it was a freshman quarterback, a true freshman quarterback. And again, we're back to talking about freshman quarterbacks, but he played over his head, and you weren't expecting it, and you still came close, blah, blah, blah. This one, yeah, five turnovers, okay, but you've got three games now that you're making excuses for losing. So I wouldn't say over his head, but we're past the point of the honeymoon stage being over. And now the rest of the year, this team needs to show growth and development to make you feel positive about the program moving forward.
I only ask that in that kind of a, I guess, a forward way, because that's just what you're going to get from frustrated Canes fans. So I want to throw it out there. I don't want to sugarcoat the issue that there are Canes fans out there that think that Manny Diaz is not the right guy for the job. I, as a fan, don't believe that, and as a journalist, don't believe that. I think you can't judge Manny Diaz and the staff the five games. You just can't.
Well, I think that Manny Diaz needs to get a better feel for what the difference between being a coordinator and a head coach is. And this was the same thing, taking it back, different team, similar situation. Mm-hmm. The way I felt about Adam Gase, when Adam Gase was the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, this guy was supposed to be an offensive guru and had a horrendous offense. He has one now with the Jets. And I thought to myself, okay, if you make your reputation on one side of the field, mm-hmm. make sure to get that right. Because everything else, you're learning. And there's a learning curve. So with Manny Diaz, everything associated with running a program, fundraising, recruiting, social media, making sure the kids graduate, all of those things were not his responsibility when he was a defensive coordinator. His job was to run the defense. And he did it extremely well. He did it well enough to get a job at Temple. He did it well enough to become a head coach at the University of Miami. Now, he's a head coach of Miami, and the defense couldn't tackle anyone, gave up 42 points to Virginia Tech. I know there were five turnovers. That's too many points. Offense put up 35 points. That should win the ball game. So, what I would say is that Manny needs to focus on getting that defense right.
So, you think he stretches himself thin? He's not doing any one thing well while he's trying to do everything.
I think he does not yet have the proper mix of all of the responsibilities that he should be doing. That is Fair. His learning curve. How do you allocate your time? Coaches plan their day down to the second, 365 days a year. And sometimes you get so fixated on the little things that you forget the big things, like, oh yeah, my defense can't tackle. That's something he needs to address. And as a guy who we know can put out a defense that had the team 10-0 and beating Notre Dame and had game day down here, we know he can do that. So now, to watch a defense give up 42 points to a really bad team, unacceptable. So the first thing he should fix, if he wants to save his job, in air quotes, mm-hmm. to the people who want to fire him for no reason after five games, which is ridiculous.
But, it is.
But if you want to quiet those people down, control what you can control. What Manny Diaz can do, and we know this factually because he's done
defense.
It, is coach defense. Yeah. So fix that. Do that well.
Yeah, do one thing
then,
well.
And then start to, and then build off of that. Okay, our defense is better. Now let me stick my hands in the offense. Let's work on the line. And that's how you build. Because right now, it's just like everything's going chaotic. What is he doing?
Yeah, what
what is he doing well?
What are the Canes good at right now? And the answer is not much. Now, there are obviously some things they're better at than others. One of them certainly not kicking field goals. I mean, or kicking extra points for that matter. Stopping people is having an issue there. Protecting the quarterback. I mean, you go down the line, this is a bad football team right now. This isn't even a mediocre football team right now. This is a bad football team now because you're winless in conference. Your only two wins are against two teams that, I mean, you should annihilate. I mean, this is not a good football team right now, which leads me to the final point on the Hurricanes, guys. Are they just not a good football team? Is it that we are, because we're blinded by Miami and it's the Canes and all the players they put out in the NFL and the U and the turnover chain and the touchdown rings and all this stuff, that we're blinded to think that this is a good football team, when in reality, when you look at the roster, they're just not?
Well, and I don't know that I ever thought they were going to be a really good football team. I thought they could be the best of a bad bunch in the Coastal. And by the way, I'm still not 100% convinced that can happen. Let's see what happens against Virginia this weekend, because Virginia is probably the best team in the Coastal that we've seen so far. But it's also a team that, if you find a way to slow down Bryce Perkins, you can easily beat that team. So I still think there's a chance they could end up being that. And I felt like coming into the season that because the Coastal was so bad, that their schedule was going to allow them to appear better than they were. So far to this point, mm-hmm. they've lost to two bad football teams in the Coastal Division. There's still time to fix that. But no, I don't think that it's a team that has blinded us. I felt like we all expected that there was going to be a growth process, yeah. a learning curve. But no, by no means am I saying that this year has not been a disappointment.
Yeah, growing pains are one thing. This is another. But again, I guess the final thought on the Hurricanes that we'll put on this part of the discussion on the pod is that this is a long season. It is year one for Manny Diaz as a head coach. You're going to expect some bumps along the way. Jaren Williams is a starting quarterback who we assume will be the starting quarterback Friday night against Virginia along the way. And I think you just have to see how they react. It's very hard to judge now. But 6-7 games from now, I think it's very fair to judge year one of Manny Diaz and how things look, whether they're going to a bowl, whether they finish strong, whether they corrected any of the problems we just mentioned. Those are things to be determined that I think are fair. Before we get to the Heat, I want to get one more reminder. Our sponsor today, Vera Motors. When you spend your hard-earned money on a car, go to a place with a reputation. I promise you there's no business in the state of Florida with a better reputation than Vera Motors. Vera Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Pembroke Pines. The Vera family has been serving South Florida for 60 years. For the best deal in South Florida, the best service, Vera Cadillac, Buick, GMC. Vera Cadillac, Buick, GMC, 300 South University Drive, 3 miles north of the stadium, Pembroke Pines. We talked Canes. Let's quickly touch on the Heat. They had their first preseason game this week. They had their charity event on Sunday. They had their scrimmage. We got to see a little bit of the team, though, in kind of a controlled, kind of fun setting. It wasn't really a chance to see how these guys are developing. But this is now when the season begins. Clay, as you look at training camp, the way it kind of transpired, I think we all agree that there's a good feeling in camp. The culture, the vibe of having Jimmy there lead the way. There's a positive feeling about this team that's very rare to find in a team that's lost its iconic player to retirement and that didn't make the playoffs last year. There's a real positive feeling as the Heat get closer and closer to the regular season.
There is, and what I find fascinating about this whole thing isn't what we've seen on the floor so far. To me, it's what we've seen on social media. The Heat control everything. I mean, there is nothing that gets out of that building that is not 100% authorized, if not put out, by Pat Riley and the rest of the people in the front office. I find it fascinating that this team has put out videos of Jimmy Butler talking smack in practice, yelling at a teammate after rejecting him at the rim. So to me, I think it's awesome because this team is embracing everything that Jimmy Butler is about, and they're saying what Jimmy Butler is about is what we're about, mm-hmm. and this is the perfect marriage. And Eric Spoelstra pretty much said that on Sunday night after the red white and pink game. So I don't recall a team embracing something that is relatively taboo, something like trash talking against your own teammates, and especially something that has gotten a player in trouble in other places. I love it. I love that the team is all about everything. Now, this is the honeymoon period. We'll see what happens when they start losing a couple of games here and there, because they're not going 82-0. Sorry, I hate to break it to you. But I love how this team is all in on being the bad guys, and they're all in on being the trash talkers, and whatever Jimmy Butler got in trouble for elsewhere, that's what we're about, and take it or leave it.
Yeah, I am excited to see what they bring, and we talked last week in the pod about some of the, you know, questions about lineups, and I don't think we're going to get a lot of answers in the preseason, because I think the reality is this, Dookie, Eric Spoelstra is not the kind of guy who's just going to announce, this is my starting lineup, and I'm going to stick with it. I mean, he's going to go through rotation changes within games, before games. He's going to make those surprise announcements where you find out that, you know, some Tyler Hero starting one day, and you're like, what the heck? Where'd that come from? I mean, that's just the way Spo does things. But I think there are some interesting things to look forward to in the preseason. The way Jimmy, you know, handles, especially early on, having the basketball. You know, who's leading at the point, but how do you facilitate and get the ball through Jimmy? How often is it in his hands? Is he the point person on every possession? Are you trying to work Bam in the post? I mean, there are a lot of little things that Eric Spoelstra, his eyes light up when he talks about it, but until we see it, we really don't understand of what's really going to be.
Look, I remember when the Heat signed Luol Deng, right? And Pat Riley made a video where he called Luol Deng the most important signing in the history of the franchise, this versatile.
It may
something.
Have been some hyperbole. There.
There was a lot of hyperbole, and it was, you know, a franchise that was trying to sell some tickets. Let's be real. That was trying to get people excited. Yeah. I think, to Clay's point and your point, what we're seeing with Jimmy Butler, the excitement, the hype, coming from the Heat, coming from his teammates, coming from social media, coming from getting up at 3:30 in the morning, coming from him interacting with fans at Kaiser University in West Palm Beach, it all sort of feels like it's happening naturally. It doesn't feel like this is the Heat manufacturing a personality that they like. It seems like the Heat legitimately like Jimmy Butler, and they're letting Jimmy be Jimmy, and they're taking it, and they're putting it out there because they're cool with it. And it doesn't feel like they're force-feeding me something. Like, I didn't believe them when they signed, and I love Luol Deng, great player in college, but I didn't believe them that he was the most important signing. I understood their position, and I understood they had to sell it. So now you have Dwayne leave, so you think, oh, well, they're going to try to sell it. But nothing that they've been showing of Jimmy Butler feels forced or inauthentic, or it feels like they're just letting Jimmy be Jimmy, and they're cool with it.
No, and I think that's a great point. They love his flaws, and they're embracing his flaws, and when I say flaws, I mean what other people have viewed as flaws. And it's something that I don't know if you guys ever had fathers or grandfathers that gave you advice as far as the woman that you're going to marry. But I remember a very good piece of advice
my dad told me not to get married.
That's a whole different podcast. But the one thing that I remember hearing was, don't marry the woman that like you love the best part of her. Marry the woman that you love and can deal with the worst parts of her. Mm-hmm. And it feels like with the Heat, they love the worst parts of Jimmy Butler, that what are viewed as the worst parts of Jimmy Butler. They're embracing that, and I just think like Dookie said, it's organic. Like they're not faking this, and so I want to see how it plays out, and hopefully it translates to wins on the floor.
By the way, speaking of Jimmy Butler, we had Jason Jackson, the incredible host on Heat TV, reporter and host on our Sunday night show, and Jackson's got his big charity roast that he does. This is his third one where he raises money through his Jackson Family Foundation this year for the Dwayne Wade Foundation, because Dwayne Wade will be the one being roasted. So I want to give Jack some love for the great work he does in South Florida. Dwayne as well. And it is Saturday night. It's this Saturday night, October 12th. October 12th. It is at the One Hotel. There are tickets still available. You can go to jackscharityroast.com is the website where Jax has got tickets still available if you want to check that out. It's a great cause. You'll see a lot of Heat players there, including Jimmy Butler, as part of the people that will be roasting Dwayne Wade. So I want to end on that because Jax was kind enough to join us on Sunday night and does a great job in the community. Heat get back to work. Hopefully, Canes can bounce back on Friday night. Oh, yeah! Dolphins, the toilet bowl next Sunday. The Dolphins and Redskins.
Can I make that graphic?
Please build it now.
The biggest Dolphins game since the Super Bowl against the 49ers.
It's debatable. We'll debate it on next week's pod.